All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. I'm your host, Jono, and I am super excited because we have an absolute rock star on the line this week. Now, I know I say that about every guest every week, but this person actually is a rock star. Little bit about him. He's an expert when it comes to virtual summits. So I'm going to check these numbers with him because I think I might have made a typo or added an extra zero or a couple extra zeros in there, but from what I can see, it looks like he's generated over $4 million US dollars in sales. He's had something like 500,000 online attendees. He's raised over $500,000 US dollars in sponsorships. He's published a book, The Virtual Summit Course Formula. He's got a podcast. I can't read the name of it. I might get him to give it a plug in a sec. But anyway, without further ado, all the way from Bangkok, the one and only Mr. Eric Yang. Eric, how are you?
Good, my friends. Thank you so much for having me, Jono.
No, thank you for coming on. Everyone listening to this is going to be a podcast listener, Eric. It sounds like you've got a podcast. What's the name of your podcast there?
Oh, my friend, it's called the Fuck College Podcast. And I essentially created a podcast I wish I had when I first started my entrepreneur journey. And as a proud college dropout, I felt like that was something that I was meant to create here.
Love it. All right. Well, Eric, I know what it is you do. We've had a bit of a chat off air. I know your story. You're the experts at virtual summits, but do you want to share a little bit of that story? Tell us about how you started. Start where you want to 100%. Start and I'll hand it over to you.
100%, my friend. So, hey, everyone. My name is Eric Ziyang, and I was born and raised in France. And really quickly, I realized that I've always wanted to build a business. And when high school came, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I just thought, hey, we are the brightest and the best entrepreneurs in the world. And for me, that was in the US. So I quickly had a decision between New York or California when it comes to city. But I prefer the sunshine over the cold winters of New York. So I chose California. And first week of college, I deeply remember like how bad my college lifestyle is going to be when it comes to learning about business, because I took an entrepreneurship class, first class that I ever took, and the teacher there was teaching about business and entrepreneurship, and she never actually had a business herself. Yeah. And I was like, I flew all the way across the continent. I was spending a lot of money into education from a teacher that teaches business that never had a business. So very quickly, I started to listen a lot to podcasts, read a lot of books, but it wasn't until I found business conferences where I started to learn the most. I went to maybe 50 to 60 plus events in the span of 2 years when I was in college. And that was in between school and during the weekend. And I will go to workshop, business conferences, networking events, and all of that for the purpose of building my own business. But the biggest issue that I had was a lot of people teaching my business were 50, 60, 70 years old. Well, at least I had 20 years more than I did, which was, you know, 20 years, years old back in the day. And I was like, if only I could learn business from someone who's a year or two ahead of me, and also like a year or two older than me, that would be the most practical, the most applicable, and the most relatable for me, because I just want to learn from someone who is doing it in trenches as opposed to teaching it back 20 years after, right? So trying to do that, I tried to build a network and eventually started to build up. But my first real business that actually worked was creating the event I wish I had. And that event was called the Millennial Entrepreneur Network, which was essentially an event for entrepreneurs under 30 who are making about six figures and building online businesses. So for me, myself, I didn't know how to do that, right? I didn't have a business. I didn't know about business. I couldn't teach about business. So I invited people who knew about business that I want to emulate and I knew other people want to learn from. And I invited new speakers and I sold tickets to that event. And because I also didn't have anything to sell, I decided to sell or help sell other people's course and program that I believed in. And I became essentially an affiliate where I made money up front from ticket sales and I made back-end sales from being affiliates to that. That event, you know, was good, but it took me almost 9 months to build it. And the day the event ended, I literally had no assets. And I was like, okay, this is great, but it's not scalable. I did build authority, I built network, I built some revenue, but one event every 9 months, even if I had a team, is not scalable. So I took that concept of events where all the benefit from it and took it online. And that concept is called Virtual Summit, which I will explain a little bit later what it is. But essentially, I created the online version of that called the Millennial Success Summit. And that was back in 2017. And it took me three times less time to build this event. I had 35 speakers under 35 doing this, teaching the same thing about online building online business. And that event netted me $75,000 in profits at just 20 years old. And
how old?
At 20 years old, I built that. And that just started
I have a question. This is the perfect Instagram reel. So I'm going to edit this and put it on Instagram. Can you say that sentence again? Just be like, my first in-person, so you'll know it. And then I can put it on my Instagram. Go.
My first virtual summit, I generated over $75,000 in revenue in pure profits at 20 years old.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Continue.
And yeah, man, it was great. It was a mixture between standing the recordings, which I will talk about a little later, but most of the revenue actually came from opportunities that came from it that became then revenue sources. And eventually I started doing more of that and people hired me to do virtual summit. And now I share and I teach course creators how they can use virtual summit as a tool for them to build revenue, authority, and grow their email list.
Okay. I'm hooked. Tell me more. You might have a new client at the end of this podcast before it even goes live because I'm interested. So tell us, Eric.
Yeah,
someone's a course creator. What are they? This is your expertise. I've half run virtual summits before, but I want to hear your strategies. Let us know. What do we do?
Awesome, man. So I think a lot of people who are in the space of course creating, they haven't heard of webinars. So that we use as the main reference, right? So the way that virtual summit is, in my words, is a webinar on ecstasy. So how it works is, like you might have attended one, is you put an email in and then you get an invitation. So in this case, you don't get one session, you get multiple ones. So usually the way it works is you have 15, 20 speakers around one theme. And the event starts, and then you have day one, day two, day three. And then day one comes, you have maybe like 7 speakers out of 21 that are all being featured. You can watch all the recordings for 24 hours. And then when day two comes, the day one session closes. And when day three starts, the day two one closes. And the only way for you to be able to rewatch those recordings again is to buy something we call the All Access Pass. Gotcha. This is essentially the recordings and then some bundle of bonuses and templates and script that people will be able to use to be able to apply what they have just learned. There's different school of thoughts of live virtual events or pre-recorded. I do every single one of mine pre-recorded. Yeah. Everything is evergreen as well. And the reasons why is because that is so much easier for you as a host to be able to scale it and also not be overly stressed about what's happening. Because if you have a podcast, you know how much unreliable people are when it comes to recording. So try to record 21 live sessions in a row, back to back to back with people that have busy schedules, right?
Yeah.
So make it pre-recorded is so much easier.
You know what else, Eric, for you and me? Because you live in Asia, I live in Australia. Most of our markets probably in America. Man, you and if we try and do it live, you and me are going to be up from, I don't even want to think of the times, but yes, I agree.
Those are facts, Jonah. So you want to make it easy for them to say yes by making your life easier as well, right?
Yeah.
And the beauty of making pre-recorded is that you don't have to worry about anything else except for customer service and customer support when it goes live.
So good.
And the other school of thought is, okay, should I make it paid or should I make it free? Yeah. Well, this comes with a mindset of, okay, what's your goal behind the virtual summit? And even if your goal is to make money, which is at the end of the day, what we're here for as a business owner and business operator is to make money. The money is in the email list. So you want to make it free so that people are more incentivized to promote it, to build more attention towards your brand and to your event so they can actually eventually sell them something more at the end. So this is in a nutshell, what a virtual summit is. It's a pre-recorded virtual event where speakers come together, where you as a host ask them questions or have them lead the conversation. And then you capture all the email list, you retain the contents, and then you'll be able to sell it on top of obviously selling the service or product that you have on the back end, which is obviously what you have if you already have a business.
Gotcha. I got some quick fire questions. Speakers, do you pay them?
So that's an old school of thoughts. People do.
Yeah.
In the 1500 plus interviews that we have done as an agency, we have all the people do, we have never, ever, ever paid for a speaker.
Gotcha.
And to tell you the caliber of speakers that we had is we had the CEO of Century 21 for 1 hour real estate conference coming to speak for free when his usual speaking fee is like $15,000. Mm-hmm. And it's all on the positioning, right? If a speaker sees the value of a virtual event where they can literally speak in front of 15,000 of their ideal customers for free, it's almost like they have to pay you. So yeah. You really have to sit in the power of your platform and the power of what you can deliver for them. And that's something that you also have to bring it up to them for them to understand that, okay, I understand you have a fee, but also I have a lot of value here. Yeah. Let's do a trade-off here. So sure. This is where it comes on.
And there's variations, right? Because listening to this, there's going to be a lot of people like, yeah, Eric, all well and good for you, buddy, but I don't have a 15,000. There's not 15,000 people coming to my summit. There's 15. But you can kind of start slow and build your way up, right? You might start with some of your friends, some of your own network. Hey, do a favor. You slowly build your list. Maybe you do go to some heavy hitters either way, and maybe they say yes and don't ask. Like, there's way, if someone's listening to this and doesn't have a big list, you're not saying, hey, wait till you got 15,000, right?
No, actually, the first 3 years of my agency life, I've only taken people that had great promise, that already had a product or something that they were really, really good at, but they had emails of under 500 emails, right?
Yeah.
People that had results, but they want to basically put, rocket fuel on their business.
Yeah.
So give an example. My first client that I had was for someone that was an expert at how to manage a business on Airbnb. That was back in 2018. And obviously Airbnb was booming, but he was an expert that had no authority, no email list, and close to no revenue. Yeah. He did a webinar that had maybe 10 people.
Just talk the guy down, man. Does he have anything going for him? Has he got a personality? Got some charisma? Anything?
He had a personality. He had a business going on. He knew how to operate a business on Airbnb, but he wanted to teach his principles, right?
Yeah.
But he had no presence online.
Yeah.
And his webinar, he had 10 people on it. Didn't work out. He spent a lot of money on ads, but it was just not numbers he was expecting. But we did an Airbnb summit essentially with zero email list. We cold emailed every single leader in the space. We reached out to sponsors. We build a relationship with affiliates. In a matter of 90 days from zero, we had 8,400 people attend the virtual summit. Woo. And the summit generated around $85,000. And then half of it was profits.
Wow. Okay. Next quick fire question. In terms of keeping that content, is there any dramas there? Are you clear with the person? Do they sign anything? Is it expected? What can you tell us there?
Yeah, so people usually don't care because they know the intention of a virtual summit. You can have a release form if you want to, but I like to keep things casual. If they ask for one, I'll give them one. But I just mention to them after interviews, hey, are you fine with this being used everywhere?
Yeah.
And usually people don't mind. And if they complain about it, if something happens, which has maybe happened once in 1500, then we just take them out of content and that's fine.
Yeah,
because the power of a virtual summit, like having a podcast, my friend, is being able to repurpose the content elsewhere, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But having people talk about almost the same topic in the span of 3 days, well, for you, if you pre-record it, it's a span of a month or so, you can actually easily transcribe that into a blog post, into an ebook, and that can be intimately part of your funnel. And you don't have to create new content because you own the content. You sell the content that is video-based. Yeah. And couple months later, right? It becomes a blog post, it becomes an ebook, it becomes a lead magnet, right? And then you literally have enough content for a year and you can reuse that content over and over again, which is, I think, the beauty of it.
Gotcha. Okay. All sounds good. How do we do it? Where do we start? Do we start by getting the speakers first? Do we start by promoting first? Where's, I guess, the start point for someone listening?
So I think the first start is, what is in for you? Do you have a book? Do you have a product? Do you have a service? Do you have a mastermind? Do you have a course? Do you have a coaching program? What is it that you want to promote, right? And you know, if you're clear with your business already, you know, that's great. But for people who are just starting out, I think that if you treat a virtual summit as a VIP session with 20 of your ideal mentors, this is how I started it, right? Yep. You don't need to necessarily make money out of it, although it's a great way to make money if you know already what business you're in. Yep. But for people who are just starting out, they want to explore different options and want to build authority by being just a reporter. And this is something that Russell Brunson talks about a lot, where you don't need to be an expert. You can just be someone that hosts experts, but you become an authority through association without having you needing to fake it to make it. And I think that is the biggest thing for people who are just starting out, where they have to pretend to be someone in order for them to think that someone will buy from them. But that's not the case, right? You have so many news station where the host is interviewing so many different experts on TV every single day, and you might even forget who was on TV or who was being interviewed, but the host becomes the core person that you trust in your head. And if someone were to promote something, you will buy from them. That's what Oprah does. You know, she's the host of so many experts, and you don't know what she's an expert at, but you know you trust her. Yeah. Same thing with some people like, you know, Napoleon Hill, where he interviewed the most and the richest and the brightest, right? And he made a book out of it.
Yeah.
We don't even remember sometimes who is in the book, but we remember the guy on the cover.
Yeah.
That does the same thing for virtual summits, where you are interviewing people. People even forget who was on the summit, but once they attended, they know that you were the centerpiece of that. And I think that is a beautiful thing.
100%.
So, If you don't know what you're doing,
I'll just jump in there for a sec with the association side of things, because I agree with that 100%. For me, it's like the friendship side of things. I'm like, oh, if Eric's friends with that person, he must be a heavy hitter. Even though I don't know what Eric does, he's friends with the heavy hitter. He must be a heavy hitter too.
Exactly. Have you watched the movie Project X? You know, where the people go party and go crazy?
No.
It's basically like, it's like a movie that went super viral before. It's essentially like three high schoolers that weren't really popular, and they tried to finish all the high school years in the best possible way. And they basically threw the biggest party ever. They didn't know anyone, but they just started to ask people, and everyone kind of brought everyone. And by the end of it, they became the most popular kids in the city because they burned out the house eventually. But it was a association factor where you weren't someone before. You create a platform that allows you to invite everyone to come together for one same goal. And at the end of it, even if nobody remembers what happened, you became the guy that made it happen. Yes. And that becomes a strong association. I think that's really key for you, especially if you have a business that's being operating right now. So going back to your question, which was, where do you start if you already have a business or not? Well, this was the advice for people who do not have a business. But if you do, this is what I would do. I will, first of all, like, look at your business. Let's say you become like a fitness coach, etc. Okay, cool. What is the niche within the niche, right? If you're a fitness coach, but for who? Let's say 25 years old, people who are busy, or you're like fitness coach for moms, right? Like, this is where you have to be really, really clear with your own customer avatar, because if you mess that up and become too broad, then the summit will not be as attractive as it could be, which was affect the sponsorship, which is something I can talk about later on. But let's say you're really, really sure about your niche. What I would do when it comes to branding, speakers, even sponsors, but the most importantly is like proof of concept, is I will look for physical version of the virtual summit that you want to create.
Yeah, love it.
Because if it has worked in person, the bigger the better.
Yeah,
it will work online. Yeah. Because especially if it's a big conference, they spend six figures just in venue alone to host that event. So that means that they know it's going to work. And they have done all the groundwork for copy, positioning, maybe even offer that you can model after. Almost copy to a T if you want to, but that would save you so much time and energy and predictive research that you can just like do that. The speakers are being featured already. You can reach out to them. It's like, hey, I saw you speak at this conference. I have something going on. It's online. You don't have to travel. I can interview easy on Zoom.
You can give the same presentation that you gave there.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Make it easy for you. And you can talk to new people. And they're like, yeah, it's easy.
I'll tell you a quick story as well, right? So what I do with a lot of my courses now is, it's a similar format, to be honest, but I've kind of already got the audience. So I just see what the course is. and then I'll just pay experts to give me a presentation that I put in that course. Reached out to this one guy. I was like, hey, you know, I'd love for you to give a presentation on this topic here. Is that something you'd be interested in? And he's like, yeah, I've actually already got it. Here you go. And he just sent it straight over. So it was I paid him, obviously. But, you know, it was great for him because it's like, you know, for him, it's just leveraging more of his content that he's already got. Good for me, you know, didn't have to worry. It was a high-quality presentation. Happy days. So love that. Question from here, Eric. So I'm sure a lot of people are – when I say a lot of people, what I really mean is myself because I know I'm thinking this. So I know a lot of listeners are as well. I guess the million-dollar question is these numbers. Like, it's all well and good to reach out to some speakers and be like, hey, I'm going to run this summit. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be all these people. But how do we actually grow it? Do we do it? Do we leverage off them? Is it a bit of both? Like, what can you tell us there?
So I will talk from the perspective of someone that doesn't have email list, which is maybe like easier so that people even have email list, which makes everything easier, right? So if you don't have an email list, you might think about, okay, well, you know, the speakers, they'll come, but I don't want to be like embarrassed if I have nobody. That would be a bad rep for them, for me, and embarrassing. So the way you grow it is you have a speaker that promotes it. It's like essentially you give them an affiliate commission on every sales that come from their end, right?
Gotcha.
Some people even force the speakers to do it. I don't like that at all because it's just conditional. Yeah. And
I'll tell you that. That's why I asked that question. Someone asked me a while ago because I got the biggest list in the fitness industry in Australia, right? And someone reached out. They're like, hey, you know, do you want to be on this summit? I'm like, yeah, sick. They're like, oh, easy. To be on it, all you got to do is send 3 emails and, you know, 2 Instagram posts and 1 Facebook post. See you later, bye. You know, like I need that to sell my own shit. You know, I'm not doing it for you for free, you know? So that's why, like, don't get me wrong. There might be situations where I would, but if someone forced me to do it and it's like, you got to send 3 emails to do it, it's not worth it for me, you know?
Yeah. So that gives a bad taste in the mouth. You destroy a relationship that could potentially be really fruitful for the future.
Yeah.
And I think that's a bad way to start a business relationship. Like, I have to do this to get this. You can reach out to me asking for something for my time.
Yeah.
I'm glad to give it to you. But then you ask me to do that for you without you giving me anything. That's like a bad, you know, bad feeling. So we ask them, say, hey, if you want to promote, feel free to do it. But our hook, man, is the standard in the industry of anything is really like 50%, right? 50% of sales, et cetera. We'll give 100%.
Yeah, okay.
Of sales. Yep. Because we believe in the email size, and we believe that if someone has built a loyal tribe and those people buy from you, you deserve at least 100%. Yep. Sometimes we give you like 120%, right? To even create more reason for you to promote multiple times on your own. Because if you have a program and you had affiliates before, you know how much of a penny ass it is for you to be behind them to make sure they do it, right?
Yeah.
But the easiest for them to do it is to make them want to do it, which is give them a bonus if they get a certain threshold. Like, hey, not only will you get 100%, but I'll pay you if you do more of that, because you know how much valuable a warm lead is opposed to a cold lead coming from Facebook.
Yeah.
If someone is your other customer, that lead is worth 2 times, 5 times, 10 times more, because those guys are 2 times, 5 times, 10 times more likely to buy from you than from someone else.
Yeah.
Because they are prepped up already. So 100% plus some bonuses is a way we to do it. Sponsorship. We get sponsors to give us money for being able to brand themselves on the summit.
Yep.
And we use that money to be able to run ads on it.
Yeah,
and then that is a good way to start with it.
Love it. That's awesome. Okay. In terms of promoting it, how early do we start promoting it? How, like, you know, if it's on in a month's time, do we start 4 weeks out? Do we start 2 months out, 2 weeks? What do we do?
Too far out, people are not going to be interested. So the sweet spot is 3 to 4 weeks before the event starts to build a lot of traction. Affiliates can be a little bit earlier because some people had different schedules. So that's something to keep in mind, like what they are promoting. So you're going to give them a heads up for sure. And then, 3 to 4 weeks is a good time. And how long it takes to do a virtual summit? The fastest I've done is 21 days. The average is, if you have never done an interview, you have no relationship, no contact, give yourself 3 months to do it. But if you are pretty experienced with that And sponsorships are something you have to worry about too much, because that's a cycle of life that's quite long, which is normal. I'll do 2 months to 3 months.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. That sounds achievable. All right. This all sounds good. I'm just thinking, I think you've covered it all. I guess my question there, Eric, let's say someone's tried it before. They're like, right, you know, I've tried this virtual summit thing. I've done what Eric said. I got speakers. Because I've seen a few of these around, you know, it's like I kind of get it. It's like there's always the free thing, and then I can buy the replays for 97. Oh, I guess that's the price. What's pricing for the replay? Would you have a recommendation there? Does it depend on niche?
Yeah, man, I've had anything between $17 to $400 for recording.
Yeah,
it really depends on the industry.
Thanks,
right?
Thanks for narrowing it down.
Right, you have to know your industry, and also, obviously, if you teach about money, that's gonna be a little bit better.
You're doing guitar, I think, you know, it might be a little bit less.
So $17 to $400, but I thought it all hinges on the quality of the content, right? So we talked about this before. You don't want to treat it as just like an interview. You want to make it practical. You want to make it actionable. So what I do, and it's something I teach a lot about, and that's like, and here's the thing. Here's my whole paradigm when it comes to giving the content away, is don't be afraid to give away your best stuff for free, especially if you're a coach or a course creator, because you know at the end of the day that people who will need your help the most, they already know what to do. They just don't know how to do it. And that's a big, big distinction. And what I mean by that is there's a difference between the content and the context of applying the content. And there's a difference between the what and the how, like what to do and how to do it. Mm-hmm. I can give you all the what, which is something that I've done for this interview with you. Whatever just something is, what kind of sponsor, what kind of speaker can you do? What kind of research can you do? But then, you know, there's a difference between what and how do you do it? Mm-hmm. How do you reach out to speakers? How do you set up your funnel? How is it the best way for you to convert? How can you ensure the sponsor to say yes, right? And this, the main difference between those two is the context of how the advice, the content, applies to you in your business right now. How can you use that? And this is what is so much more powerful, is you getting the guidance into what will work in your situation, in your business, in your niche, to your audience. And that is, you know, how people maybe have failed, where they have heard the advice, but they haven't added the contextual of what is working in the industry.
Love it. Awesome. All right. Well, hey, that's some great tips there, Eric. There's a couple questions I always like to finish my podcast off with. Now, the first one, are you a fan of The Matrix?
The movie? Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. So they've got their whole red pill, blue pill thing. I'm going to give you a similar question, basically a scenario, right? You can get $1 million cash in hand tomorrow, tax-free, but you can never run a virtual summit again, and you can never teach someone how to run a virtual summit again. Do you take the million?
I probably won't, because the concept is so, so, so powerful. And I know for a fact that virtual summit has obviously made me more than $1 million and like continue to make me money. Because here's the beauty of it, man. Virtual summit is just a tactic. It's just a strategy. Mm-hmm. But the principle is so powerful, which is you don't need to be an expert. You can create a platform, interview the best of the best, and you become known as the guy who interviews the best of the best. And that opens so many doors, whether that is pure revenue, getting on stage, invited to speak on stage, which is, you know, where the bulk of my money came from my first summit, me speaking on stage and me standing on stage, me getting free PR, which I will have paid tens of thousands of dollars for. Me building my email list, which is something like what I spend hundreds of thousands of US dollars on, if it wasn't for free, that I got leads for free. And also, the best of the best, my man, is building relationship with people who are the leaders of the industry for free.
Yeah.
That level of proximity, because you have done business together, is different from you reaching out to them like, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee. I met you at a conference. Let's hang out. Let's, you know, let's take a picture. No, like when I meet those speakers at a conference, we actually spend time together before and after the conference. And this is where the real networking comes, right? Where you come from a place of equality, as opposed to you reach out to them and then figure out like how you can do business together. Like, no, we have already done business together. Let's figure out how we can do this more and more often. And I think that's the beauty of the principles behind a virtual summit. It doesn't have to be a virtual summit. It can be a podcast, can be writing a book, can be having a blog. It doesn't matter. But the principle stays true. And I think that I wouldn't take $1 million for it because it's so much more valuable than this.
Let me sweeten the deal. $2 million.
You could give me up to 50 million plus. I would say no to that.
Okay. So 15 would be the drawing point.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, well, let's all understand crypto and see what's going to happen. Yeah. But even then, I would struggle to think about it.
Okay, love it. Awesome. All right, next question. So this is the Course Creator Community Platform podcast. Everyone here has got some sort of platform that they use to host their online courses on. I'm curious, in your situation, Eric, when you did you have a platform that you would upload everything to and people would log in, or do you have a platform you can recommend? What can you tell us about that side of things?
So how it works is we used to do everything on WordPress, where we have 10 different plugins, software on top of it. But I made my life easier. What I've done for all my clients is, which I give them part of our package, is we have the whole templates. We have the whole landing page, sales page, membership templates. Everything is on Kartra. Even the email automation is on Kartra. And I think that for the user experience, it's just much better to have all in one place. Yeah. Not the biggest fan of Kartra, but it is the best that is out there for what it delivers, and it does the job.
Awesome. Yes. No, that is a popular one. That often gets a plug here. Kajabi is probably the most popular. Thinkific is pretty popular just for the courses. But in terms of everything, it's pretty much, Kajabi is one, Kartra is two. Go High Level is creeping up as well. But Kartra is a popular one. Next question, Eric, is around mentors. So you're obviously a mentor for plenty of people out there that want to get good at virtual summits. I want to know who your biggest mentors have been. If you could give us this answers in a few different ways, if you could give us a paid mentor, someone that you've paid money to, you've done their course, their coaching program, whatever it is, an unpaid mentor, so you haven't paid them, but you follow them on social, you listen to their podcast, you subscribe to their YouTube, whatever it is, and a book apart from your own, because we're going to get that anyway, that you recommend every course creator should read if they want to sell more stuff online. So mentors, paid, unpaid, book.
So unpaid mentor, the whole idea of virtual summit came from someone I met when I was hosting my in-person events. And he was just telling me, hey, I just did a virtual summit. He was 2 years older than me. He was 21. He just made $400,000 in sales for his virtual summit.
Hey, course creators, real quick before we get into today's episode, I've got a little favor to ask. As a lot of you are probably aware, one of my goals for this year is to get to massively grow this podcast and get it to be one of the top ranking podcasts in the marketing space. To do that, what really helps is if I can generate as many ratings and reviews as possible from listeners. So if you're a returning listener, if you could take a couple seconds and just give me a quick rating and review on Apple or Spotify or whatever platform you listen to, that would mean the world to me. Anyway, let's get to today's show.